Time to take a drive through the country. My guide tonight is John Daly. He's a rural reporter for ABC Albany in Western Australia. Hello.
Hello, how are you going?
I'm excited to speak to you. Now, let's start with this rather rotten story involving accusations of egg fraud. What are the accusations?
Rotten indeed. There are concerns that caged and fertilised eggs, I guess laid by hens raised for meat production, are potentially being trucked into Western Australia from interstate. And then once they arrive, they're being repackaged and sold as free range or indeed barn laid under those brands when they're really anything but. Now, if it's true, which is yet to be proven that it is completely true, there are big implications for consumer confidence here in Western Australia and even competition with local producers in the state as well. I guess it's actually, I should mention, Patricia, it's not the first time that a WA egg producer has fallen under ACCC scrutiny. So Snowdale Holdings, there was action taken against that company for falsely claiming some of its products were free range in 2017 when the ACCC originally had a look at their farm. They found that that wasn't the case. And the ACCC has confirmed that it is investigating once again the free-range industry in Western Australia to really, I guess, establish once and for all whether this practice of what the industry calls egg substitution is actually happening.
Yeah, the ACCC is investigating, but it must be really hard to prove egg substitution. So given that, how do they establish it? It's just so difficult to do.
It is. As a consumer, you walk into a shopping centre and you look at the free range and caged eggs and they just look like, you know, an egg's an egg, isn't it, Patricia? So it is hard to. But I think in this case, where there's smoke, there's fire. There's two reasons. Now, a lot of these concerns are coming from the industry and they've been channeled through the West Australian Agriculture Minister, Alana McTiernan, who actually sent a letter to the ACCC in March raising these concerns. And there's a few reasons they think this is happening. One, it's because the amount of free-range eggs being sold in the state is actually outstripping the production capacity of the industry. And also, a certain amount of these eggs are fertilised, which really, in a egg-laying production system, doesn't really happen because they're all girls. So that tends to suggest that they're coming from the meat industry, particularly from broiler hens, who are basically bred with the right genetics to produce chickens that we eat for meat. And another real sticking point for producers in WA is also the cost of some of these eggs being sold well below the standard cost of production. So with some being sold as low as $3 a dozen. Now, WA's Agriculture Minister, Alana McTiernan, says it's really unfair to consumers who think they're buying free-range eggs, but also to the farmers.
It is also deeply unfair to those farmers that are doing the right thing, that are genuinely raising their birds free-range and producing the eggs that the consumers want, to have to compete with people that may be fraudulently marketing their eggs.
So there you go. Okay, so that's their line, but this comes amid a kind of price war between suppliers and supermarkets anyway, right?
Yeah, so WA producers have complained that they're battling against some pretty unrealistic prices that are getting offered by the supermarkets, and I think this malpractice or alleged malpractice wouldn't help that at all. Last year, production costs for egg producers in Western Australia, and I'd imagine nationally, rose quite significantly because, you know, the price of grain was lifted as a result of the drought. And they say that they want that economic reality to be reflected in the price of eggs being sold in the supermarkets. And some of their competitors, they say, are, you know, managing to produce eggs at prices that are well below what they can achieve. And I did contact the major supermarkets, Aldi's, Coles and Woolworths, and they all assured me in the same kind of generic way that the traceability standards are very strong and in place for their own brand, and I say that specifically own brand eggs. But when I pushed them to respond to questions about those measures in place for independent egg brands that are sold on their shelves, I didn't get a response.
All right, let's leave that one there because there's a pricey cow. Tell me about this very expensive cow.
Indeed. So a Wagyu heifer, and a heifer is a cow that hasn't had a calf yet, hasn't had a baby. It was raised on South Australia's by South Australia's De Bruyn family, and last week it sold for a record $280,000 for an Australian Wagyu. And the De Bruyns run 8,500 full blood Wagyus on a station on South Australia's Limestone Coast, and they also won in that particular event. Won the Wagyu branded beef competition with a pretty high score. So it was very, very good beef indeed.
How valuable is Australian Wagyu on the world market?
Well, it's, I think it would depend on the country. So I know in Singapore, for instance, where, you know, locally produced meat is just non-existent, Australian meat is, and Wagyu is priced very high. And just recently checking, I think domestically, Wagyu steaks can sell for upwards of $100 a kilo. So you're talking about $40 or $50 a steak.
Wow. That's a pricey steak, but I suppose if it's good, it's good. All right, let's move finally. We're hearing news about a two-headed calf born in WA, which is, wow. Tell me, what's happened here?
Yeah, it's a bit bizarre, and this has happened in my own patch in WA's Great Southern Region, which is on the south coast of Western Australia. And I say two-headed, but it's probably more accurate to call it a conjoined twin. This one was born with two heads, two lungs, two stomachs and spines, and then it kind of fused back together halfway down. But I think it's quite a rare occurrence genetically. And also, what's quite interesting about this is the third case that's happened in this particular part of the world in about 4 years. So statistically speaking, you know, for this tiny little sleepy farming area, 400 kilometres south of Perth, it's quite mind-boggling, actually, that this has all happened.
So what condition is the cow in? Will it survive long?
Yeah, so that's the sad part of the story. It didn't survive the birth. It had a few complications. It is very rare to see one make it through a full term of pregnancy, but, you know, a bit of light on the horizon. The mother did extremely well, and she's actually taken a surrogate calf. So she's raising another little calf that needs a good mum.
I must be very emotional, but that story is so adorable. Okay, it's very cute. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Jonathan.
No worries.
John Daly is an ABC rural reporter in Albany in Western Australia. I like that story. I like that outcome.